Whether you're a first-time poultry owner or looking to expand your flock, you can always use some helpful advice. Blaine's Farm and Fleet's got you covered. With great info and products to help raise healthy birds in-store or online at farmandfleet.com/chickdays. Proud to salute one of our farm families that is celebrating their sesquicentennial anniversary at the same farmstead. We're heading to Sauk County now, where I'm visiting with Don Meyer, who's one of the owners of the farm that started way back in 1870. Goodness sakes. Tell me how it started, Don. Where did your great-grandpa come from?
My great-grandpa came from Germany, and he came in 1866, which would have been 4 years sooner. We don't have a lot of history what happened, but we did find some old letters, and he first came in the area in 66, and then I know he worked in Madison because we found some love letters between him and my great-grandma from the time he'd go to Madison and work until he came home, I suppose, on weekends or once a month or whatever it was in those days.
Wow. Just getting to Madison must have been a challenge back then.
Right. I would think so, right. But then they purchased the farm in, well, they were married in 1868 then, and then they made a first purchase of the farm, first 75 acres it was, in 1870.
Interesting. Now, what part of Sauk County are you in, Don?
We'd be in probably mid-Sauk County, well, a little bit to the western side of Sauk County, right, by the little town of Loganville.
Beautiful. Excellent. Well, don't let me interrupt the story. So they purchased the farm in 1870, 75 acres. So what did they start out doing on the farm?
We didn't have a lot. All I know is we found a chattel mortgage that he gave to his brother while he was still working in Madison to raise hops. So there has been hops raised on the farm at one time. What happened? There was nothing in any place that we could find out when the cattle first came. But I'm assuming they had it's the typical thing on the farm, like a couple of cows to their milk and some chickens and hogs so that they had meat and eggs and, mm-hmm. and milk. That's what my assumption is of that.
Right. One of the challenges might have been, too, just trying to get enough resources around to get all that going in the right direction. Did they build a barn to start? How did they start out in a house?
I don't know. We lived in an old house, and I was young, and I'm assuming that was built by him. It was a log house. Now, the barn, I don't have no record of what it was, but I got the dates on a regular barn when it was built. Mm-hmm. But in his legacy there of the farm, they bought 20 more acres of woodland in 1896 from the neighbor, and we found the bill of sales or whatever it was. They bought 20 acres of woodland for $300.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. So keep me moving then, Don. How long did they stay on the farm? Tell me a little bit what, like you said, you're going back over 150 years. Details can be tough to come across, but tell me what you know, and then on to the next transition.
Okay, so the farm had grown to 95 acres, and then they held on to it for 31 years until they passed it on to my grandfather, which was William Meyer. And they were the ones then that we got evidence that the barn was built that that I actually grew up in, and that was in the barn was built in 1906. And then also in that era, there was 55 more acres of workland and pasture added, so that grew the farm to 150 acres. That's what when I came into the picture. That's what the original farm was.
Sure.
Their ownership then, him and his wife, Villamino, had it for 28 years. He passed away in 1929 then. And so then it went from him to Villamino, his estate. And my dad was the only boy, and he was 22 years old at that time, and so he worked the farm for my mother, and that was through the Depression years then, from 29 to 36.
Wow. What did he ever share with you about that, Don? I mean, just to think about what any homestead, but let alone farmers, went through at that time must have been something.
It was terrible, I guess, financially. He said, I can remember, I took a cow to town once. He says, I got $9 for the cow. And then his joke to that was, but I went uptown and bought a pair of overalls for 50 cents. So he went through some tough times. They also had a drought in that era, in the early 30s here. And he said one year, the first year of the drought, I think it was 1932, they got 9 loads of loose hay to feed their cows. And I'm assuming they probably had about 18 to 20 cows at that time. That's just an assumption, though, because of the way the barn was laid out.
Well, they made it. Like you said, they made it.
Exactly. They made it. But his statement he did make, he says, if we wouldn't have had our farm free of debts, he says, I don't know if we would have made it. Because he said for 2 years, we didn't make enough money to pay expenses.
Right.
So what was their expenses in the early 30s? I mean, they didn't have much for expenses, or they could keep on, going rather minimal expenses to what expenses are today.
Boy, and I bet that really changed the neighborhood. And I know that would have been, as things were happening up in that Sauk County area, like Badger Ammunition, et cetera.
That was a little bit before that. They came into existence in the 40s, Badger Ammunition did. But then, he worked with his mother then for 7 years. His mother still owned the farm, and they fought through the Depression. And then him and my mom got married on the 10th of June, 1936. And the farm was transferred to him on June 11th, 1936, the day after their wedding. So it kind of went with every time there was a marriage, that's when the farm got transferred.
Well, that's the way she worked back then, for sure. So now tell me a little bit about your dad and then how they kind of transitioned and moved forward.
They didn't add any land parcels to the farm, but I thought back to what I remember as in 1947, that always said they built the milk house the year I was born, and I was born in 1941. So that was their first milk house that they built. We do have a picture of the farmstead at that time, and there was a utility pole out in front. So they had electricity, and I think they had electricity in about 1936.
Wow.
So that was early compared to what some of the people... But he did a lot of major improvements on the farm. Like I said, he built the milk house in 41. He bought a thrashing machine and built a shed for it in 1946. Well, then in 1947, I was 6 years old, and they built a brand new house, which I can remember people coming here, and I can remember them building that house. That's was really a big thing in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. Well, in 56, he built a new double corn crib. Boy, we had the little old-fashioned corn cribs that were hard to fill. Everything had to be shoveled by hand into the cribs. And so he built a double corn crib so we could use the elevator to get a load of corn and store for storage. Mm-hmm. In 1962, he built a pole shed, because we were expanding the herd, not we keeping all the heifer calves. Then I was getting involved, and I wanted to use all the keeping track of the genetics, and we keep all the heifers so we could have some extra income selling these springing heifers.
Mm-hmm.
And so he built a pole shed, and we needed it for hay storage at that time too, because our yields had been increasing. And it was hard to get all the hay packed away in the old barn, so that put a real ease on ours. So what his legacy on the farm was is building all these newer, more modern buildings that we could do things easier. It, then Nate, he had a heart condition, and in 1964, he transferred the farm to me. It was 150 acres at the time. It was transferred in March of 64. So they owned it for 28 years. Then I got married in 1964, and we started our marriage at the farm homestead, and that's when I also started a conservation plan, so that that was what I enjoyed a lot, laying out the contour strips to save erosion, and to be able to test soils on all the different fields, and I'd be able to increase my crop yields as well.
Now, let me ask you, Don, on that effort, how did you learn those ideas or get that idea? Was it by watching your dad, other farmers? Did you do some coursework, work with Extension? How did you kind of come through that conservation fold there?
Well, I graduated from Farm Short Course in 1960, and that's where I credit a lot of my ideas came from and my dreams came from. And yes, then we had a real rainstorm, and that was, I think, in 62. And it was down in the valley behind the barn. And we had hay cut, and the floodwaters took the hay, and it ran right across one of our nicest cornfields on the bottom of that valley. And we went picking hay out of the corn so we could get with forks and carrying it off. And that convinced Dad that we needed to do something to eliminate that flooding of that field, you know.
Right.
And so we started the contour stripping. Then he actually started that the fall before I bought it. In 63, we laid out contour strips.
Mm-hmm.
And I also then had a plan for the first big grass waterway down through that valley. And so I bought the farm in April, and about 2 or 3 weeks later, we had the contractor lined up to start the bulldozing of that waterway. And I always tell people, well, I think that was, I wonder what the neighbors thought of me. They heard that I bought the farm, and 2 weeks later, the cat moved in to build the waterway.
You know, but I'll tell you what, you know, those same neighbors should have probably been there. I can't remember late 1990s, early 2000s, when we had that just torrential water, and those valleys up in the Sauk County area, they needed every bit of conservation they could get.
You bet. And I'm still proud to say that waterway is still in existence today. So it's carried the water off from that down through that valley with a couple minor repairs. We repaired it at the bottom where it dumped it into the creek. We made it a little longer on the top end. But that major part of that waterway is still carried that water off now for, 60, 70 years, you know, and without very, very little erosion.
Excellent.
So, and then when my wife and I, we started, of course, the era when we gave up baled hay and the haylage came into existence. So in 68, I think it was, when we built the first big silo, an 1860 silo, and started using haylage as a way of putting up hay.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, also when our second our son was born, the neighbor lady, they were an older couple that I was watching and for an opportunity to buy that farm, and she came up to visit my wife with a new little baby, and she says, well, now you can buy our farm. You got two boys. And I didn't take that lightly. I was down there within a few days.
So How big was that one? What did that bring to the table?
That brought another 160 acres. It literally doubled our farm size at that time.
And you were ready for that?
I was ready for it, right. And we, the only thing that happened then is my wife became ill after the little boy was born, and we pondered whether we should buy it or whether we shouldn't. It was serious, and so she doctored that year and was happy, and we thought we had things on the mend, but she passed away then exactly a year later.
Hmm.
Left me with a little one-year-old and a four-year-old. I was fortunate to have my mother and her mother help me to take care of the little boys and to be able to stay farming. So that was fortunate. So that was a period of 7 years that my first wife and I owned the farm together then. And then in 1973, I found another widow lady in the area, and we were married on July the 7th, 1973. And so that started where I am today. Our family now is, we've been together for 50 years and owned the farm all this while. We had to build an addition onto the house because the house wasn't big enough. We built the second 20 by 60 silo. We continued to do our conservation and put the second farm under the conservation plan. Built a harvester for shell corn. Mm-hmm. An additional added, and then in 1979, we put an addition onto the barn and increased our herd to the size of 71 cows. And there were some other things we did. We built a Gretton, more grass waterways. I think 8 or 9 all over the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Built a farm pond. And then my big dream was to develop a herd of registered Holstein cows. And so then in the mid-70s, we had probably 25% of them were registered at the time. They weren't high-quality registered cows, but they were a start to the register business. And then our kids were old enough to be in 4-H, and we started showing at the county fair, and that got the children all interested in the dairy business.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of them, as we grew, had an opportunity to show a champion animal at our county fair.
Wow.
Five of them.
Wow.
And for five years, it was really a rewarding experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
Of the five children, four of them are involved in agriculture.
Nice. That's quite a legacy. That's quite a legacy.
I hope that I leave a legacy. And mm-hmm. Two of them are in AI.
Uh-huh.
And the two girls are were married farmer young fellows that wanted to farm and didn't. One of them had a farm to go to, but the other one didn't, and we helped them get them established.
Mm-hmm.
And so they both grew into a farm. They still milk cows today, and so they loved it. Became their profession of milking cows.
Right.
Don,
in case you're just joining us, folks, this is Don Meyer. He is one of the sesquicentennial honorees that we'll recognize at the 2023 Wisconsin State Fair. He's up in Sauk County, where it all started back in 1870. Don, let's talk about where you go from here. You mentioned now that you've got children that are involved in agriculture, the passion's there. What's going to happen to the farm as it stands today going forward?
We go forward. We've got two grandsons, and our son lives, bought the second set of buildings off in that farm, and they live there a quarter of a mile away. So the grandsons grew up coming up here and learning how to do this, or learning how to do that. We dispersed of our dairy herd in 1995. So we've been out of the dairy business, and it wasn't because we wanted to get out of the dairy, wanted to really leave the dairy business. It was because we wanted to merchandise those animals we had developed.
Mm-hmm.
We had a very satisfactory, not a high herd average, but it was satisfactory to us, and started a different sort of segment in our lives. And so now those grandchildren, when they come up here, they didn't get involved in the dairy business that much, but they got involved in the cropping business. Now they've bought some beef animals. Their one grandson's got, I think, 8 or 10 beef cows that we run in the permanent pastures to keep them off, utilized. And he makes... We rent the other cropland since 2000, and we make all the hay on those grass waterways that I saw.
Sure.
And that's enough hay to feed his 10 beef cows through the winter. So he's interested. He works for agronomy in the Reedsburg as his job, and learning a lot about cropping and fertilizer. And he comes up here and he loves doing his thing, and he feels part ownership, and it's time. I think we need to get involved and get him, give him some ownership of some type, so that he feels that it's his, and it'll stay in the Meyer name that way.
Yeah. Like you said, that is all about legacy, and you've created a wonderful one, obviously with the help of friends and family. Don Meyer, along with us, the sesquicentennial celebration coming up for their family. Sauk County is where it all started, and Wisconsin State Fairgrounds is where we will salute him and his family, and I know they've got some special events planned right there on the farm. Again, Sauk County resident Don Meyer, one of the sesquicentennial honorees, will recognize during the 2023 Wisconsin State Fair. Keep coming back for more of these stories from across the state of Wisconsin. Our thanks to Compure Financial for allowing us to help share them with you. I'm Pam Yonke.